And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, we're finishing up our series that we've called The Stories of Us, and really just a relationship series where we've been looking at the one another's in the New Testament. There's over 100 of them and 59 of them in the New Testament that really give us specific commands, teaching us, you know, how and how not to relate to one another. And as I said every week, obedience to these one another's, I think, is so important, because really it forms the basis of all true Christian community, and they have a direct impact on our witness to the world as we live these out. And so we started off with, you know, the basics, the foundation to love one another, and then out of our love for one another pours and the opportunity and the ability to do the other one another's that His Word teaches us. I'd encourage you to go through and just kind of do a study of all the one another's. We just kind of hit four of those. And today we're going to look at serve one another. Serve one another. And one place it says that is in Galatians 5:13. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Serve one another humbly in love. And so each week we've had different ones come and share their one anothering stories, so to speak. And so I thought, who better to do this one on serving one another than Jeff and Molly Shields. So Jeff, you and Molly, kind of make your way up here. That lady up there steps, boy. Come on. Serve her. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Molly's pregnant. Hey!
You want to say
that
too?
No.
You want this?
No, I'm good. Hopefully I don't fall.
Yeah. She's due in about 6 months, I think, or something like that.
No.
Any moment. Any moment. So
it's actually quadruplets. No, just kidding.
We can handle that.
Yeah. All righty. So I just want you guys to share, your own stories of, how the one anotherings of the faith, how God has really used that in y'all's lives, and then we'll talk some more about it as you kind of go. But how has He used the one another's, especially serving one another in y'all's lives?
Yeah, you want me to go first? Okay. So, this Sunday being serve one another, I feel like we've been a part of the Rock for 8 years now. Our boys were 3 and 4 years old when we came to the Rock. We moved back to Lakeland, and this has always just been home to us. It's kind of like an extension of our home here, and that's just through the way the community here has loved us. For those of you that don't know, Jeff works in full-time ministry, so our family is in full-time ministry, and having a community that's surrounding you in that is so important. And I think having a community that's helping us to love not only our children well, but that's loving our family well, has been just crucial. So just from the beginning, I think one reason we were like, the Rock is home, is because our boys were always so excited from day one to come back to church. Mm-hmm. They've always just loved being here. And just the way they feel loved and they feel served when they're here is so important to us as parents, because we all need that village surrounding us. And then we got pregnant in 2016 with Lillian, had her in 2017, and I remember the outpouring of just after my C-section with her of just meals. I don't think I cooked for weeks. It was such a blessing. But just from the community here at the Rock, and now being pregnant with our surprise blessing number 4. we've just been so loved on, served so well. I was pretty sick with this pregnancy until about 16 weeks, and you guys provided a lot of meals for Jeff and my 3 children, which was just such a blessing. But I think a part of, too, that, you know, having that opportunity to be served so well, and then also having the opportunity here to serve others, is just, it comes from being a part of being here, you know, being here on Sundays, being here on Wednesday nights, being a part of the women's Bible studies, the men's Bible studies, having your children a part of the youth events, and being here helps you build that fellowship and those relationships, and so you know people's needs, and they know yours, and so.
Yeah, ditto. I don't really know how we can add on that. I mean, like, you know, I think one of the only reasons that we were able to say yes to ministry was the way that God loved and served us through the Rock. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Like, if I wouldn't have had this place to feel comfortable, to see God and witness and experience God's the way that he served our family, I probably would have said no. And I work with a lot of churches, you know, in ministry, a lot of churches. And, you know, this church is known in this town for being the most kind and loving church around. And actually had another pastor in Bartow say, "You go to the Rock?" He's like, "Yeah, man." He said, "I hear good things about that. That's a loving and kind church, and they serve." And, you know, and that says a lot, right? Because pastors are for each other, but a lot of times, you know, they're not serving each other and giving those types of compliments. And so, you know, we're only able to do this because of the way that God has worked through this church. And I'll just say, you know, like, serving doesn't come easy for us, right? Like we have to choose that and submit to that all the time. You know, I was reading a passage in 2 Corinthians the other day, and Paul talks about, you know, the first Adam and the second Adam, right? Second Adam being Christ. And we have to choose that, right? Because, like I look at Adam in the garden and how he stood next to Eve while she took, you know, the fruit and ate of it, you know, and he was called to be there to serve her, and he didn't. And we look at Christ, who's a life-giving spirit, right? He's the second Adam. We have to choose that, right? And we have to choose that every day. And it's a battle. We have to choose it in our marriage. We have to choose it with our kids. We got to ask our kids to choose it. We got to choose it when we go into schools. We got to choose it when we're at retreats. You know, I know sometimes it seems like it comes easy, but it doesn't. We have to ask the Lord to fill us with that spirit of that service spirit, you know. But I will say this, the more that you say yes and you choose it and you ask for it, the easier it becomes. And then it becomes an overflow, right? And so it's an honor. Yeah.
So when we look at serving one another, like you say, you know, it's something that we have to recognize that doesn't come naturally, right? And I'll kind of share that a little bit, but and really begin to fight for what God is calling us to do and to serve one another and to serve others. What do you hope to see going forward as we live out these one another's love, carry each other's burdens, pray for each other, serve one another, encourage, you know, so many be devoted to one, so many one another's in the Bible. What do you look forward to in the Rock, you know, as we go forward and us being the church that continues to live out the one another.
I mean, I personally just hope that just hearing this series and just the importance of community, that more of us would strive to just be in community here at the Rock, whether that's a part of a life group or coming on Wednesday nights, like letting your kids be involved in the children's program, but coming to an adult Bible study and forming those relationships with other adults in this community that we have. It's so special here at the Rock. So I just hope to see that grow and to get to know even more of you more and just for you all to build those special relationships that I know God has intended for you here.
Yeah, because she's going to need some babysitters.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, not just the Rock or the church. You know, like, we know the ending of the story, right? We know where we're going. Like, most of us in this room has read Revelations. We see where we're going. And, you know, I'm not one to not pray for revival, right? But at the same time, I also know where we're at right now, and I know the path of where we're going. And, you know, I heard a sermon the other day from Passion, you know, where Pakluta talks about, you know, God being a bomb shelter, right? And like, we need to be going out and being like, get in here now. Like, this is a safe place. Come in, be here. You know, he wants to save you. Your father wants to put his arms around you and protect you. And that's just what I see the Rock and the church, you know, moving forward is that, you know, I pray for revival and I want to see that, right? But I really feel like I'm more in tune with what is coming. And we were chosen to be here at this time, right? This everybody in this room, right, was chosen to be here. And we got to be calling people in. You know, and I don't mean inviting people to church, and that's one of the things, but I'm talking about getting out into schools, in the community, into the stores, into your workplaces, and saying, come, come. God wants to protect you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to take care of you. He wants to be there for you every moment. I mean, if you don't feel that in that last song, I mean, prayerfully, next time we get up on the stage, I hope we don't play that last song, because here I am, like, crying over there. But it's like, if you don't feel that presence of God calling you, saying, come, come, right? Like, then that's crazy. You need to be asking for that, because I think that's what he wants to do, right?
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Let me pray for us, and then y'all can just thank him as well. Father, I just thank you for that opportunity, God, to respond to your call in our lives, Father, to really come and begin to live out the one another's, not for our own glory, Father, but so that people could come into a forever relationship with you, God. May we have this this desire, this hunger, this intensity about our faith walk, Father, that wants to get out and share the good news with others, God, and invite them in to a relationship with you. God, I just pray for Jeff and Molly and their family. God, I pray for this season of their lives. I pray for little Hannah as she gets ready to surprise us, Father, and share with us her beautiful life. God, I just pray that we as your church would gather around them and others, Father, and we just continue to love on each other, to encourage each other, to inspire each other to go out and live this call that Jeff is talking about, God. So, God, do your work in us. Fill us up with your spirit so that we have the power to live out the faith that you have you are calling us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, girl. Come on. I hope you've enjoyed the one anothering testimonies, those that have shared with us, and it's really encouraged me as God continues to call me to live out the one another's that he's commanded us to live out in his word. And what better place to go than to Jesus to look at how that's supposed to be done, you know, to look at, you know, his life and what he's calling us to. And I just love, you know, how he gathers his disciples together there right before he goes to the cross, and he's trying to get them focused, trying to get them on mission to this one another call that he has on their lives, you know. And they're arguing about who's going to sit on his right hand, his left hand, you know who's going to be there on the throne, you know. And they don't get it, right? And so even their moms get involved in it a little bit. And finally, Jesus just can't stand it anymore. He throws a flag, right? He throws a penalty flag. And in Matthew 20:25, he called them together and said, listen, guys, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them, but among you, it will be different. He's saying, among you, those of you who are my followers, it should be different. And when I talk about living a life that is different, I don't mean weird different, all right? I'm not talking about that, but just different. And personally in my life, let me give you a little insight into Monty Davis. When I get most disappointed with myself is when I realize I wasn't different. And for me, sometimes that, you know, in the past that's come on the basketball court, right? Or, you know, while I'm driving on the road, or when I've gone through the Chipotle line and they don't have chicken, you know, they're out of chicken or whatever, and I get in one of those moments and I act just like the world. Right? I know you don't do that, but I'm just confessing to you, I just begin to act exactly like the world. I follow the example of the world. And I become so disobedient and follow what comes naturally to me, to get upset and to share things that I shouldn't share. And Jesus says, listen, Monty, among you, among you, it should be different. It should be different. So we have to recognize what is natural, and we have to begin, as Jeff said, we have to begin to fight, you know, for what is spiritual. And he goes on to say, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. And that kind of just flies in the face of everything we know in our culture today, right? Just think about the language that we use to be the greatest in our culture. You know, it's always, you know, climb up that ladder of success. Get to the top of that ladder, right? Step over people, own people in order to get there. If you want to be great, you got to rise to greatness. But in the culture of the kingdom, Jesus kind of flips that upside down, right? He says, you really want to be the greatest? You descend to greatness. If you want to be great, you've got to serve one another. And what I so want you to hear this morning, and this is very important to this whole message, Jesus doesn't just reject greatness or one's pursuit of greatness. He don't reject, he just redefines it. He says, if you want to be great, you serve. If you want to be in the front, you go to the back. If you want to stand out in life, you step down. Then he gives his own life as an example. Verse 28 in Matthew 20, he says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so as I thought about this last series, this last message in the series, and I thought about us beginning to journey to the cross and to the resurrection. What better way to begin to understand what it means to serve one another than to look at Jesus and how he did that with his disciples? You remember the story? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 13, and we're just going to kind of walk down this story. And you've heard it, it's very familiar, but I'm just going to walk down it again and let Jesus share with us what it really means to serve one another. He's there with his disciples, and they've gathered there in that upper room, and Jesus does this. John chapter 13, we'll start just with verse 1. It says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. You remember the Passover. They celebrate the Passover every year. And that came from thousands of years earlier when the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians. And Moses, you know, God sending plagues through Moses. And the last plague that he sent was the death of the firstborn child, right? And every firstborn child was going to be killed. And in order for the Israelites' children to not be killed, they had to kill a lamb and spread the blood over the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over their home. And so every year after that event, for thousands and thousands of years, they've come to this Passover feast. Every single Passover celebration, the family would take a lamb and sacrifice it to remember that it was through the blood of the lamb that God set his people free. And so here in this story, it's Passover time. But Jesus knows that this year he is the lamb. His blood will set people free. And this is the last night of Jesus' life just before the cross. It's just a few hours, you know, before he gets to that cross. And that's why he says it was time for him to leave the world. He knows he's about to die. And I begin to think, you know, what would you want to do if you knew it was your last night? Or if your time was really short? What is it that you wanted to make sure that you would get to do? And I kind of looked up the most common bucket list goals. And the number two desire that people would want to do, you know, it's in their bucket list, would be to travel the world. Travel the world. We all probably, you know, would maybe like to do that. I don't know if that's the thing I'd want to, you know. But here's the crazy one. The number one bucket goal was to run a marathon. I begin to think, you know, majority of you can't even run a marathon. Why would that be a goal, right? Yeah. And it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me what Jesus wanted to do on that last night. Look at verse 2. It says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And I really want you to hear what's going on in the scripture. The key word there, I think, is so. We find out all these things that Jesus knew. Jesus knew when he was going to die. He knew when his hour was up. In just a few hours that he was going to be tortured and crucified. Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that God had given him all the power. And I don't know about you, but if it was me, and I knew anything like that, I really knew who I was, and knowing that I was the Son of God, I probably would have reacted at least in a different way, saying, hey guys, you know, I want to remind you, I'm the Son of God, right? Do you think somebody could serve me? I've got a couple of pretty rough days coming up here. Could somebody wash my feet? But no. He knew all this stuff. And he knew it, so he knew he really had nothing to prove. And so what did he do? Jesus did exactly what he came to do. Jesus served. He served. So I think, how about you? How about you and me? Why are we here at the Rock? Are we really here to serve one another, or are you here to be served? I mean, be honest. Are you here to be a part of what God is doing in people's lives every week, or is it sort of a spiritual consumer idea where you get in and you listen to the message and then you're on with life? Or are you more of a spiritual contributor? That when you walk out of here, the things that God shares in your heart, you begin to allow to give you the power to begin to serve those around you. You begin to have the heart of Christ to serve one another. To serve one another. And then in verse 5 it says, after that, Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let me help you understand this washing feet, right? We have to kind of look at it in the context there. Foot washing was really a normal part of the culture at that time. People walked everywhere. I mean, you and I, we're used to paved roads and concrete and sidewalks, but in the first century, all the roads leading into Jerusalem were just dirt roads. And you know, we're talking inches of dust and dirt. If it's dry, if it's wet at all, I mean, it's just like cake, like mud, and really shoe apparel obviously was nothing, anything, you know, to that more than just to protect the bottoms of the feet, right? It definitely didn't keep anything off your feet. Just a small piece of material on the bottom of the foot wrapped up, you know, around your foot with leather straps. And then if they had anything that they traveled with or on, and most of it was animals, and they obviously didn't stop off the side of the road to take care of business, if you know what I mean. And you're going to have these roads with all kinds of stuff and dirt and mud on them. So whatever the disciples walked through that day was on their feet. So this washing feet thing was a pretty disgusting job. To wash feet is not something anyone was really jumping up to do. It was just not a task that you were happy about, but it goes even further than that. Who are the kind of people that would wash feet in that culture? Usually the task would be given to not the master of the house, definitely not, right? Not a rabbi or a teacher as Jesus was, definitely not a student or a rabbi of a teacher or some family member. They wouldn't even give the task to a servant that was of Jewish origin. No, they would give this task to a Gentile servant or a foreign servant. And so they would give it to the lowest of low. Having your feet washed was a normal thing, but it was normal for a servant or a slave. And so when Jesus got up to wash everybody's feet, it was like a total shock, right? It may have been normal in that culture, but it was abnormal for a respected teacher, let alone God, to take on this lowly task. So here's Jesus taking off his outer clothing, grabbing a towel, pouring water into a basin, and kneeling down at his disciples' feet. I mean, can you feel the tension in the room? I mean, the disciples know what this task is and who usually performs this task. And here's the Son of God, their Lord, their rabbi, kneeling down to wash their feet. And you can almost sense the struggle in it, right? I mean, when he is kneeling down, especially to wash Peter's feet, you know, look there in verse 6. You know, he came to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, Lord, I mean, Peter, he's just going to speak it out, right? Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And then Peter said, no, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And it's kind of like the most pivotal verse in the whole story. This goes beyond a basin and washing feet. This symbolizes that Jesus was washing away the sins from his disciples' heart. The foot washing was an external physical act that pointed to an internal spiritual reality. And that's why Jesus says, you can't belong to me because, you know, like us, Peter had sins and he needed to be forgiven. He didn't just need his feet washed, he needed his heart cleaned. And Jesus gives us an example that says, if you give your life away on mission for me, if you live beyond yourself, if you respond to the God part of you that says, serve one another, there will be something that happens that will radically change your life. And you say, well, Monty, how do you know that? Because every time I've served one another, I've been radically changed. Every time. Every time I serve others. And so I just want to give you four facts that Jesus teaches us here in the story about serving one another, okay? Here's the first one. Serving one another, it elevates you. Look in verse 4. He says, so he got up from the meal, took out his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 20, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. In Matthew 23, he says, the greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Something supernatural takes place when we kneel down and we begin to do something for others that nobody else will do. The last will be first. He elevates you. The second fact is this. Serving one another, it doesn't make sense sometimes. There in verse 7, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. You see, giving your life away, being on mission for God, living beyond yourself, will sometimes make no sense. He's not asking you to give away again your ambition or your desire to succeed. He's just asking you that in the pursuit of that, to serve one another. He's just asking to serve one another first. He redefines greatness. And so if you're driven to do well, do it by serving first. Reach down and grab the towel and serve one another. The third fact is this. Serving one another, it's your ultimate calling. It's our ultimate calling. Verse 12, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I mean, just a little while ago, the guys were thinking and are competing, right, to sit on his left and right on the throne when he becomes the king. But Jesus says, no. In my kingdom, you grab the towel and you wash feet. In the process, you express your love for God and for others. But kind of like the disciples, we sometimes get caught up in wanting the thrones and the titles, right? And Jesus says, no, go for the towel instead. Because that great life that you want, it's in the towel. It's in the towel. Serve one another. I've shared this with you before, but I love paper towels, right? Kim will say, yes, he does. Right? I just really do love them, and we buy them in bulk because I don't know, they got these ones now that kind of, you can rip it in half, kind of, you know, or quarters. I don't like those at all. I mean, when I'm getting a paper towel, I'm getting like two or three, right? Because I don't want to get anything on my hand. I want to, you know, and I want to get the job done, right? I mean, and I kind of always look at these paper towels, and they have a story sitting there on the roll. I begin in my crazy and weird mind begin to think, you know, it's kind of like a small group, right? They're kind of like a small group, just wondering, just waiting for that spill to happen. I mean, they're sitting there on the roll, and they say, well, I love being around you, and everything's cool, but I love being on this roll, in this, but I'm ready to get into the spill, right? And some kid throws up, and whew, I'm there, right? Or you know, somebody spills coffee. Yeah, we had a little accident down here. Them towels are excited. Because listen, you are created to be in the mess. We were created to get involved in the brokenness of people. So I'm saying, put me in a paper towel small group, God. Come on. I want to serve one another. Mark 8:35, Jesus says, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. True life is serving one another. I mean, that's a promise from Jesus Christ. That if you serve one another and point them to Jesus, that you'll begin to experience true life. The fourth fact, I think, that we learn in this story is that serving one another, it brings fulfillment. Verse 17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed. You know what that word blessing means? Merikaros, it means happiness. In the original language, there is a future-oriented happiness. He says, you know these things? Now that you know these things, now do them. And there will be happiness in your future. There's a path toward happiness. Hebrews 6, the writer says it this way. He says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So listen, many of you have stooped down and washed feet throughout your life, praying for your family, praying for this city, seeking God for years. And so listen, you will reap a harvest. He says he will not forget. Because I think sometimes, in our serving, we say, man, I wish someone knew it. I wish someone knew. And he's saying, no. When we serve one another, we serve without this desire to be recognized. We serve without recognition. We serve without reservation. Listen, God knows. God knows. And he will bless your servant's heart. And that's my desire, to be living my life in that way. You know, as I look at the next 30 years of my life, my desire is to run it at such a pace that I am serving one another and pointing people to Jesus as I go, so that when I get to the end of this life, I will snap the tape at the end. And I'll get to hear my Jesus, my Master, reply, "Well done, good and faithful teacher. Well done, good and faithful preacher." No. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he'll say, "You have been faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And so I want us to take these principles, and I want you to plug them into the contents of your life. How is God asking you to serve one another? Not what other people think you should do, but what is God calling you to do? And how can you be sure that you have the same heart as Jesus did on that night when he washed his disciples' feet? Well, let me give you two questions that you can ask yourself that will help you discover if you have that same heart that Christ did when he served. The first question is this: what is your motivation? I mean, here are some of the things that were not Jesus' motivation. Pride, self-righteous attitude. I mean, you know, like the Pharisees that says, "Hey, everybody, look what I'm doing. Look at the sacrifice I'm making." Again, you see, Jesus didn't have anything to prove. He knew it all. He knew who he was, and he didn't have anything to prove, so he served without need of recognition. And that's what serving is. Serving is taking on a task and putting the needs of other people first. And sometimes it stinks. Much like feet. Right? Feet stink. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before, because this is what my friend is famous for. I had a best friend, in high school, and he had the worst smelling feet known to humanity. I mean, and I, you know, if he was here, I'd share that with him. Right? He played, he was weird. He was kind of sick. He would play this game with me that every time he got into my car, he would take his shoes off. And he would, in his head, count to see how many seconds it would take me before I noticed it. And, I have this gag reflex thing, and I'm like, and he go, 10 seconds, took you 10 seconds. And I go, come on, man, you're so sick, twisted, right? I think about that. And the thought of washing this guy's feet totally nauseates me. I mean, just the thought of it. I'd rather buy him you know, odor eaters for his entire life than to wash his feet. Here's some of the things that motivated Jesus. Love and compassion. Jesus loved those guys in that room more than anything. He loved the world that he had come into. He loved the people. He had compassion on people. The kind of compassion that comes from the inside out, where you can't help but act. And so if my friend needed his feet washed, I would wash them. Jesus said, I'm giving you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. It just blows me away. On the way to the cross, he gets his closest followers together, his closest friends, right? And he says, serve one another. Serve one another. How do you serve one another? I mean, do you do it reluctantly? Do you do it out of obligation and disgust with or do you do it with the desire to be served back? How do you serve others? Let's be honest, when you serve, there's always a cost. There's a sacrifice. Jeff shared that with us. It's not easy. I mean, it's a sacrifice of your own pride, of your time, your money, your comfort. When you serve for the sake of others, there's a cost. And one of my goals in my life is for me, in my life, is for serving really to become part of my demeanor, right? My lifestyle, my relational culture, to really get to be a person that serves without recognition and serves without reservation. It's a goal, right? I'm not there yet. So what's your motivation? What is really your motivation? Do you see the things the way that Christ does? Or are you just doing a task? Second question would be, what is the need in front of you? I mean, Jesus knew that he was going to suffer like no other and be crucified. I mean, this is the greatest act of service and humility that has ever been seen in the world. And yet, in the middle of that kind of knowledge, he looks at the need right in front of him. And when we talked about it, these guys' feet were, again, they were nasty, and they were sitting together at the dinner table that is low, and they're right there. And here's Jesus taking the most simple and low task and doing it. And so you have to ask yourself, what is the need in front of you? The need in front of you. Is that here at the Rock, right? To be a part of what God is doing in other people's lives every week right here? Maybe it's your family that you see every day serving your wife, your husband, your kids, your job. What is the need in front of you right now? Name it and do it. The power is in serving one another. So I love how we get all the way back at the end of John 13 to the passage that we started with in the first message of this series. Jesus says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another, your willingness to carry one another's burdens, your willingness to be a prayer warrior for one another, your willingness to serve one another will prove, not your theology, not your church attendance, not your tithing, although all those things are so important. He says, no, it's your love. The way you serve one another. And it's a different love. You know, to us, I love you means being around you makes me feel good. It fills me up. And that's not love. That's selfishness. That's a hunger. That's I need this. But real love is when you look at another person through God's eyes and you get a vision of all they could be in Christ. And so you decide to lay down your life to see that glorious possibility become a reality in their lives. When we love like that, the world will know that we belong to Him. And the best proof that there is a God and that Jesus is His Son is the way that we love and serve, carry each other's burdens, and pray for one another. Amen? Let's pray. You know, just as the disciples had to let Jesus wash them in order to truly belong to Him, we too have to let Jesus wash us if we want to belong to Him. The same is true of us. I mean, the disciples had mud and filth that they needed to be washed off their feet, but every one of us have sin and shame that needs to be washed off our hearts. And sometimes we find ourselves too proud to let Jesus do it. Or we deny that we have sin that needs to be forgiven. Kind of like Peter, right? You're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me, Peter. You know, every one of us has sinned. Every one of us need to be forgiven. And the good news is that Jesus isn't just willing to bend down and wash your feet. He's willing to die on a cross to wash away your sins. And that's the gospel message. That's the power of the cross and the resurrection. He's not just willing to wash your feet. He died on the cross to wash your sins. And listen, He's ready to do that today. And I don't know where you are today, but Jesus is really ready and willing to wash your sins away and make you brand new and give you a new heart. So as we come to this time of response to God's Word and Jesus' example, what is He calling you to? What sin or struggle that's do you need to allow to give to Him, to allow Him to wash away from you? You know, before you can live this one another life, you have to first say yes to Him and invite Him in to wash the sins of your heart away forever. Maybe some of you are here and that's the place that He's calling you to first. Just to surrender to Him and be in relationship with Him. And so if that's you here this morning, would you right now just confess with your mouth that you want your Jesus to be Lord of your life? And just believe in your heart that He is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead so that you could have eternal life. A life that is full and abundant in relationship with Him right now. Right where you are, just say, Jesus, come in. I surrender to You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me clean. Forgive me. Begin to change me and transform me. And if you pray that prayer, that you can have the assurance that even right now you are a child of God. that He has forgiven you and He is ready to transform you. He's ready to use you to serve others, to serve one another. Most of us are in relationship. We receive that grace and mercy gift of Jesus in our lives. But if we're not careful, we get caught up in the competition and the comparison and the stuff of our world, and we lose sight of what He's calling us to, just like the disciples. And so today, this morning, maybe He's reminding you as you look into your heart that it's not about how He can serve you now because you are His child. It's how you can serve one another. It's how you can give your life to Him totally and completely, and humbly come before Him and say, "Use me, God. Help me to be obedient to the one another's of Your word. Help me to love one another with Your love. Help me to carry other people's burdens, Father, with Your strength. Help me to pray for others. Oh God, help me serve others." Father, listen to the prayers of Your people and respond to them, Father. Begin to change them. Begin to transform them. That we might be a people who are really every day making effort to live out the one another's that You call us to. We love You. Thank You for loving us first through the great gift of Your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.